And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
He committed this entire program change, and he gave new life to a fan base.
If they get relative health from those starting five, I think that they're going to be pretty good.
He scores! They've done it again in overtime! Unbelievable! Sagan! They score! They score! Vanek, a hat trick! Vanek just let it fly!
What hurt us more is that now our rotations was kind of just out of disarray. You know, our rhythm was broke, you know, just right from the beginning.
That is a hookup between Collinsworth and McDermott.
I don't think that the world is falling apart. I think that we all want to be great.
I'm not going there. Next question. You tell me.
You tell me. There's been a lot of stuff, right?
You tell me. Next question.
We love Des Bryant.
He can run the zone read. The RPOs, very exciting.
We help patients. We're teachers. But expectations are always high.
He's always been extremely accurate. He's great in play actions. I think he's got even more room to grow.
And welcome in here Wednesday on The Closers. Off to a bumpy start already. Things showing up unexpectedly.
Like me?
Yeah, well, no, I expected you.
Oh, okay.
You confirmed that over the weekend after you told me that you were off for a rather soggy weekend. You dried out, by the way?
I have wrung myself out.
Okay.
Hung myself up to dry, uh-huh. And yes.
Okay. All right, yes. So we're good. Okay.
We're good.
Opening montage, Jarrett Sutton, SEC Network, talking about the Michael Porter Jr. legacy. David Leske, Baseball Prospectus, Kansas City. That Royal starting pitching staff. And your day one starter, well, he exited after about 23 pitches in his last spring start. Danny Duffy with shoulder stiffness, left shoulder. Blues win again in overtime at Fox Sports Midwest. The Dallas Stars win in overtime. Fox Sports Southwest. Fox Sports Ohio. Blue Jackets. Thomas Vanek picking up the hat trick. LeBron James. Fox Sports Southwest. Dallas Mavericks. Doug McDermott. Dougie McBuckets making the montage. And then NBC Sports Radio. David Robinson talking about Kawhi Leonard. And then we'd like to welcome back, at least for a couple of weeks, our NFL people.
Mm-hmm.
And our new favorite, Dave Gettleman, the GM of the New York Football Giants. I mean, I think he's bumped Steve Boros off the next question pedestal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how he was next questioning and engaging at the same time.
Yeah.
He's like, next question, let me ask you something mm-hmm. about what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the guy starts to talk, he's like, listen, next question. What I got to say is
right.
this.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you don't understand what you're the words have meanings. Next question
no, they
means
don't.
Okay.
They don't
you're
have
right.
meanings.
All right.
Right. Even if you put them together in a proper order, they don't necessarily always have meaning.
Okay.
Yes. Jason Garrett, we love Des Bryant. Jay Gruden, he's excited to coach Alex Smith. Andy Reid, we're teachers.
You're certainly not coaches. Oh.
Wow. Welcome back.
Yeah.
And Mike Zimmer on what he likes about Kirk Cousins. On NBC Sports Radio, Andy and Mike on that one. The NFL draft is coming up, and everybody's got to have their piece to say. And one thing that Gettleman has said is that Des Bryant is not up, or not Des Bryant, but Odell Beckham Jr. is not up for trade. But if you're going to offer two first-round picks, we'll talk. Seriously. We'll talk.
We'll talk seriously.
We'll talk seriously.
Okay.
Yes. So. Got that, man. On the docket today, we're gonna bring in Mitchell 40 from PowerMizzou.com. He's a writer. He's a swimmer. We'll see if he's a talker.
All right.
He's tall. He has length. So we'll bring him. I mean, Power Mizzou is putting together a basketball team. He's got to be right up there with the top group. I think he's probably the only one.
Yeah, he's pretty tall.
Yeah, he is. He has length. So Mitchell 40 will join us about 4:20 this afternoon. We'll talk spring football. He's written a couple of really good pieces over on PowerMizzou.com, especially about Derek Dooley. There's a lot of questions about what he brings to the table. So we'll talk with Mitchell about that one and just kind of his impressions as this week is kind of an off week for Missouri Tiger football, and hopefully it's an off week on a lot of fronts.
for Missouri Tiger football. Because, you know, the past hasn't been real kind during spring break.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll visit with Mitchell about that one. Hour number two, Bill Connolly from Rock Am Nation. There's a lot of stuff going on right now with not just college basketball, but just on the college scene itself, because the coaching carousel is spinning in some interesting directions, and there are some really good hires made. And one of those hires has now left one of the teams in the Cincinnati, Ohio area scratching their head going, now what do we do? So we'll talk with Bill Connolly about that one coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Your calls are welcome at 442-8255. Tomorrow is opening day of Major League Baseball. We'll spend a lot of time tomorrow on it. We got a lot of stuff going on tomorrow as well, but David Lusky was interesting yesterday in that he talked mostly about the starting pitching staff for the Kansas City Royals. And you think about that starting pitching staff, he talked about Danny Duffy, Jason Hamill, and Ian Kennedy, and really concentrated quite a bit on Ian Kennedy because pitching most of the year last year with a hamstring issue that hampered him. And he is of the opinion.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
What?
Lesky with his opinions again.
Well, you know, it is what it is for him. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to let him tell you what he's thinking here.
The biggest one to me is health. If they all stay healthy all season long, I mean, pitch healthy, if they get relative health from those starting five, I think that they're going to be pretty good. Beyond that, the issue is Jason Hamill, I think, is probably the biggest question mark. Okay.
Yeah, mid-30s. Bad year last year. And he took, you know, he missed some time, missed a couple of starts because he had to kind of fix things.
Mm-hmm.
It was an adjustment phase. So he's kind of that hook right now on which it seems like a lot of the Royals' futures might lie just a little bit, just because you're not sure what you're going to get out of Danny Duffy for a full season.
Right.
Elbow issue last year toward the end of the season, shut down, and already out with missing most of that last spring training setup with a stiff elbow. Ian Kennedy, you're coming off of a year where he struggled all the way through with that hamstring issue, and Hamill, while not hurt, was relatively ineffective.
Yeah.
And those are your three guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Nate Carnes, you're like, he's going to be hurt. We're gonna lose starts out of him. Jake Junis, not a clue. Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this whole staff, I mean, the last time I had Lesky on, this whole staff, you know, there's nobody who's a lock for 200 innings.
Unless they get bullpen help.
But no, but I mean, one starter.
Yeah.
Starter on this on this rotation that's a lock for 200 innings. Everybody has questions as to durability, and this is a team that needs none of those questions.
Right.
They need five guys who, even if they were a little worse, you knew you could count on to pencil in for a majority of the season.
Yeah, and I think that was where Ian Kennedy fell into that trap last year of not being 100% healthy, but trying to give you as many innings as he possibly could. As ineffective as they were, he gave you innings.
Yeah.
Some of them were balloon-style innings, but that was part of Lesky's point is, You don't need a staff that is injured over the course of the season at different points. You need a staff that's going to be able to pitch healthy over the course of the year, not give you 200 innings or 180 innings with a nagging injury. Because you get that with that nagging injury, it's going to be a long road for this Kansas City Royals ball club. We're going to talk some football. It was a long road last year. Setting a fire, making a bowl game, a lot of quirky little things happening during the course of last year, secure the bag, departure of an offensive coordinator, departure of an offensive line coach, rearranging some of the defensive staff. So a lot of questions. Defensive coordinator. All of that happening for this Missouri Tiger football team. We'll visit with PowerMizzou.com's Mitchell Forty, and we will do that, I was going to say with full confidence, right after this, and we'll see.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Hope your Wednesday is going well. Well, he's first time on the program. I go back with him quite a while. 5 years now or and change as he was part of the Missouri Tiger swimming team. Mitchell Forty joining us now, PowerMizzou.com. And how you been, man? It's your first time doing this show, but what is up right now with you as far as no football to cover for this week?
Yeah, hey, George, I'm doing good. I just started at Power Mizzou about 2 months ago. I've been at all the spring football practices. Right now, I get a little bit of week off, so not too much. Excited. Okay.
So you and Gabe are both hoping for a very quiet weekend on and off of the football field for this Missouri Tiger team.
We're hoping, but you can never count on it.
Boy, ain't that the truth there. Young kids, as you're well aware. All right. I went back and reread your piece on Derek Dooley, the laid-back demeanor. I know you were around this team last year, but is there really that much of a noticeable difference in the way the guys are carrying themselves with Derek Dooley as opposed to Josh Heupel?
Well, as you said, I wasn't around the team last year, in a reporting capacity. So I don't know, exactly, how they handled themselves in media interviews and whatnot. But definitely, that was a question that I and a few other media members asked them, just kind of the difference in interacting with Coach Dooley versus Coach Heupel in practice. And they all pretty much said the same thing, that he was just, a lot more laid back, mm-hmm. a little bit less strict. He can... I believe a few of them said he can get angry. He can yell when he needs to, but for the most part, he likes to crack jokes and kind of talk in his slow Southern drawl. And I think it kind of puts the players at ease a little bit. So obviously, no way to know at this point if that'll translate to the playing field, but definitely have gotten a lot of positive reviews from the players.
How jacked is Demaria Crockett?
He looks good, and as I think Cornell Ford put it best, calling him chiseled at a recruiting reception in St. Louis a few weeks ago. He said he looks chiseled, and I asked Demaria about that after Cornell brought that up, and he was talking about how after he got hurt last year after he had that shoulder surgery, how he couldn't mm-hmm. lift, and the guys were making fun of him, calling him skinny, and so he said he was lifting like 2 to 3 times a day during the off season. So. Yeah.
Okay. Now, right now, we look at this running back combination of Demaria Crockett and Larry Roundtree, no D in that, by the way. It's just Roundtree. So, as you look at those guys, and I know you're not watching, you're seeing some of the practice, but not a whole lot of it. What are you seeing mm-hmm. out of that duo that is impressive for you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I never want to be a guy who's making big grand predictions based off practices. Mm-hmm. But right now in practice, it looks like they're both getting pretty similar numbers of reps. Obviously, Crockett is nominally first team, but Roundtree's, they're doing the same type of stuff in practice. And they're lining up out of the eye occasionally, doing some more, between the tackles running, it looks like, as far as, the pro style offense, as it's been called, goes. And I know that Crockett told me he had never done anything like that before. I haven't gotten a chance to speak to Roundtree about it, but they're going again, it's practice, they're going against their own team, but they both look decently comfortable with it. Crockett told me he really enjoys it, something he's never done before, but he likes how it gives him a little bit more time to kind of, read the defense and pick the holes. So, so far, like I said, both have kind of taken the same reps, it looks like, and I think it's not unreasonable to expect them to be kind of a true 1-2 punch where, both are going to see a lot of playing time this year.
Mitchell, Jay Sparks here, and I just wanted to ask, Drew Locke, foregoes a potential pro contract to come back mm-hmm. to Mizzou and not enter the NFL draft, and, with the full blessing, obviously, of the coaching staff and his family, but what are the things he needs to work on, and are the things that mm-hmm. he needs to work on to get better part of this offense? I mean, is this offense going to give mm-hmm. him a chance to work on those things to get better for the draft?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Jay, I certainly can't say for sure because, I haven't seen, you know, the whole offense. I don't think anyone's seen the whole offense yet. I don't think it's completely installed, but I think that'll be a big priority of Derek Dooley's, is making sure that he gives, you know, Drew Lock the chance to prove the things he needs to prove. I think that's looking comfortable under center, you know, making more in-depth pre-snap reads, you know, running like play action type plays, you know, rolling out, not just, you know, standing back there and taking a couple step drop out of the shotgun. So I don't know, like I said, I haven't seen, you know, necessarily all of that in spring, but I know that, you know, Derek Dooley has told us that they are, you know, kind of in the beginning stages of implementing all the plays, but I would be very surprised if that weren't one of his goals this season, you know, along with putting together an effective offense and making sure that he gives Drew Lock a chance to do some of those things that he needs to impress NFL scouts.
Mitch Forty with us from PowerMizzou.com. You can follow Mitchell on Twitter, and I would suggest you do that. It is at Mitchell4D, the number 4 and the capital letter D. You know, it's here's and your boss just chimed in, by the way. might want to check that one out. As far as what you have seen during practice, I'm going to go back to the fact that you weren't there last year to cover this team, but how much access are you having this year? And in comparing notes, how much more access do you have than previous years?
I can't necessarily speak to previous years. This year we're allowed to, you know, certain practices are closed to the media, but in the practices that aren't closed, the practices that we're allowed to attend, we're allowed to watch everything.
Okay.
You know, starting to, as soon as they finish up their like stretches and all that, we're allowed to watch. We're not necessarily allowed to report on certain aspects, as far as like schematics or some sort of personnel things. An example would be that a couple weeks ago on a Saturday, Michael Wilson was running with the wide receivers, and we couldn't necessarily, you know, report that day. We had to, you know, get a coach to talk about it, essentially, just to you know make sure that they were, for lack of a better word, okay with us reporting it. But we're allowed to watch everything that goes on at practice, at the practices that are open.
Again, comparing notes with the older groups, you know, Dave Matter and such as that, is this allowing you to cover the team and feel better and feeling more informed when guys like us ring you up and say, "So, Mitchell, about whatever, do you feel more informed?"
Yeah. It's definitely helpful for me just because, you know, this is my first year really covering the team. And, of course, while I, you know, followed the team as a student, I didn't, you know, keep up with maybe some of the guys that were lower on the depth charts who are now getting some time and stuff like that, or new guys, newcomers. So it's definitely been very important for me to kind of learn the roster, just have some familiarity with it going into this next season.
How surprising is it when you get down on that depth chart and you realize, you're like, wow, never even heard of this kid?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely, you know, I was a student athlete, so I like knew that there were like a lot of kids on the football team, but I won't lie, there definitely were a few names that I had never heard before.
Yeah, your group wasn't quite as large as this football group is right now. Okay, going forward now, I know this is spring break, and then the spring game is coming up on Saturday, April 14th. What have the coaching staff told you, or during the course of your interviews, where they're really kind of working as they get closer and closer to that spring game?
I mean, the new offense is definitely the biggest thing. That's what everyone's, you know, wanted to see during the spring game. That's what they have been, you know, preparing to have some of those looks in place for the spring game. I think that's certainly the biggest thing. The other things that I would say I'm looking for, that maybe necessarily the coaching staff hasn't brought up, they have a little bit, but not that they are necessarily anxious about. But I'm curious to see kind of who is playing where in the defensive backs. You know, there's been talk of moving a few guys from safety to corner or vice versa, just because of the attrition that they've had there. So I'm curious to see, you know, who's playing where. And then also at wide receiver, kind of who settles into the first team and who is playing behind them. You know, they have Emmanuel Hall back, Jonathan Johnson back. Aside from that, it's a lot of unknowns. You know, Nate Brown hasn't necessarily been productive in a couple of years, and then, like, you know, drops off to newcomers and guys who haven't really ever had a consistent role. So those are kind of the things I'm most curious about.
On the defensive side of this football, Mitchell 40, PowerMizzou.com with us here. I would suggest you go to PowerMizzou.com and check out the writings. But on the defensive side, how's Ryan Walters seeming to settle in to his role now as the defensive coordinator, knowing that Barry still has that hands-on approach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it seems like he's done. He seems comfortable in his role. We talked to him for a few minutes after practice, but he certainly is involved at practice with more than just the defensive backs, which is obviously his position group, defensive backs coach as well as defensive coordinator.
Okay, go ahead.
He will be involved with other groups, and he's running the show when they're doing 11-on-11s for the defense. So.
All right. Once one guy from the offense, one guy from the defense. Who's kind of surprised you in what you've seen so far in spring ball?
Man, I don't. It's hard to say it for a surprise, just because, I don't want to read too much into the practices I've seen so far. I'll start defense. Kobe Whiteside's been running with the first team in that really deep group of defensive tackles. And while I wouldn't be surprised to see Jordan Elliott, get there. For the season opener, it looks like Kobe Whiteside's been taking those first team reps and has looked good. Offensive side of the ball, I'll say Nate Brown, just because I wasn't necessarily sure he would ever be back to the sophomore year or the form he showed his sophomore year before getting hurt for 2 years in a row, and I'm not necessarily predicting that he will be, but he's looked as productive as any other receiver. So.
All right, Mitchell 40, PowerMizzou.com. Again, follow him on Twitter at Mitchell4D, the number 4, the letter D, at Mitchell4D on PowerMizzou.com. And on Twitter, Mitch, thank you for the time, man. I really do appreciate it. Hey, by the way, as we exit out, what'd you think of Caleb Dressel?
Oh, man, he's not human. It's unreal. people will see when the next Olympic cycle comes around, but he might pull up Michael Phelps. He might be that good. Eight gold medals is not out of the question.
Yeah, he is incredible. I know Swim has run both the 50 and the 100 that he did in the freestyle. And folks, watch it. It will literally take you less than a minute to watch both events.
The 50 will take you less than 20 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. For the ADHD people out there, that is a perfect race for them. And he's got it down to a fine art.
To remember.
Yep, he certainly is. All right, Mitch, thank you for the time, man. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of spring break, and may it be quiet on the news front for you.
Yeah, thank you very much, George. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks. You're very welcome. That's Mitchell 40, PowerMizzou.com, filling in for Gabe, who's on a little bit of a spring break hiatus as well. We'll be right back. We've got more of The Closers, and we will address that right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Welcome back. Good to be back, right?
Good to be back.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thanks to Mitchell 40, by the way, for joining us. Give Gabe a week off here from talking about a whole lot of stuff. I know he's been busy. He wrote a really great piece, by the way, if you've not read it yet, on some thoughts about Michael Porter Jr. as he exits this Missouri Tiger basketball team. Limited contribution on the floor, but I think if you step back and look at the entire contribution from him, I think it's far more off court stuff than on court.
Yeah,
you had mentioned this the other day when he made the announcement that you had a fan base that now cared about basketball. You had a basketball team that became nationally relevant.
Yeah, quickly.
Yeah, and remember, this was going from a team that was one of the worst teams in Power 5 for 3 years.
Yeah, the worst.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't have to be that emphatic about it, but...
Well, I mean, Rutgers agrees.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Jeez. I mean, the Scarlet Knight was... I mean, they're good for the New York market, right, for the Big Ten?
Sure.
That's why. That's why they're there. But no, it's... You had the fan base, and I understand, listen, the very far beginning of this year when it was announced that he was going to be out for a while and all the rest of that, and people were just mad as all get out. what you ended up behind, though, the trailing portion, the Comet trail, if you will,
mm-hmm.
ended up being a whole lot of fun to watch and also aggravating.
Yes.
But for the most part, they ended up being a lot of fun to watch because you saw five guys out there. Sometimes you'd get seven, maybe eight, and occasionally it'd be, you know, down to six. But you saw guys out there that cared about the team. Not that the previous groups didn't, but were having fun with each other.
Yeah.
And played a team game of basketball.
Yeah.
And that's to the head coach. And I know there was a lot of people out there, especially after Missouri's first round loss to Florida State, when the guy can't coach. See? Can't coach. Well, listen. About that. He kind of can.
There's a lot of definitions there.
You know, and I think here's the other aspect, and we're going to talk a little bit about it with Bill Conley from Rock Am Nation and also with Sam Snelling tomorrow, because there's where do you go from here? Because you've built up the momentum.
Right.
You've built up the level of interest, and you don't want it to go away. And I think you're seeing with the names that are coming out that Missouri is involved in, and they're down to the final grouping and getting serious consideration and serious looks, especially out of the St. Louis area. I think you're seeing that next step. And that was something that Jarrett Sutton mentioned yesterday on the show, was that, you know, the legacy of Michael Porter, was a lot of it the recruiting aspect of things. He was picking up the phone. He was texting. He was all that. With kids that he knew, and you get Jeremiah Tillman in, and you see how Jeremiah Tillman developed over the season. Well, now that makes coaches in the St. Louis area, which has not been a very Missouri-friendly environment for basketball,
mm-hmm.
or football right now, for that matter.
Right.
But for basketball, get those coaches to sit up and kind of take notice of not just the team, but the job that Konzo Martin has done and the message that Konzo has been preaching all season long.
Yeah. I mean, you get Kevin Knox on campus, mm-hmm. who you know, was freshman of the year in the SEC and co-freshman of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, a team that won 20-something games over 3 years gets, you know, two McDonald's All-Americans on campus. And you had 24/7 crystal balls wavering.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this could happen. This is the thing that could happen now.
Yeah.
We know how that turned out, and we know that it wasn't necessarily a done deal or anything like that. But the immediate payoff of giving Konzo Martin a 7-year deal, bringing him back to his old stomping grounds, pitting him against a new coach in Illinois that was not at the same level of quick turnaround,
because
mm-hmm. Lord love your Illinois and your South Carolina fans on Twitter. Just listen, just stop.
Delusional.
Just stop. We have our fair share mm-hmm. of delusional Mizzou fans,
yeah.
but just stop. And you've got an Illinois program that is in the middle of a fire sale, and having all kinds of issues,
mm-hmm.
even with a new hire. And you see just how much that means, how much that works out in Konzo's favor, what he was able to accomplish this past year. And the program building is off to a raucously good start.
Not just go get another Cassius Robertson.
Well, or, you know, that Ramey guy.
Yeah, he might be a good one too. But yeah. Right now, is, you know, they've got three scholarships that are available. Should Jonte decide to exit stage left and follow his brother's footsteps, his older brother's footsteps, that would leave four scholarships for the Missouri Tigers. But you're in on Ramey. You've got a pretty decent recruiting class. Listen, it's going to be real. You're going to be hard pressed to grab a top five recruiting class like you did last year,
right?
Because it's a hard nut to crack.
Correct.
Okay. But just from the standpoint of looking at the guys that are in, Torrance Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what he had He was averaging 45 points a game.
He averaged 31 points a game for the entire season.
Right, but when he hit the playoffs, he became a completely different animal.
Yeah.
And he hit for 51 at one game.
He had three 50-point games over the course of the season. And, listen, that's class three, but let's be honest. The Porter boys played at Father Tolton. Yeah. Now, I mean, Hale was a different story up in Washington.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
I think the legacy talk is something you want to jump in right on, and immediately define it and cast it in stone. I think this is going to be one that it's going to be something that will take some time to develop. You'll get the immediate reactions, which, we're giving you that right now, but I think the long-term reaction, the long-term development of the Porter Jr. legacy begins with the recruiting and opening up those doors in St. Louis.
Yeah.
By getting Jeremiah Tillman to dump Illinois. And by the way, that added a little bit of spice. And Smith, ass out of his scholarship at Illinois. They released him with no restrictions, and now he's on the Missouri radar.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want a little bit more spice to the border war, which would be nice to win once in a while, you kind of got it with that.
Yeah, well, even without that win, one of the two teams made the tournament.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. But it still would be nice to win that once in a while.
Yeah, it certainly would be. So anyway, all right, so we got it's an interesting view. The short-term view, he made basketball interesting, made basketball fun, made basketball something that people cared about in Missouri again and across the country, because you had Missouri popping up regularly on television. You got it right now with him going in. And listen, if there's any better indicator that he was important to Missouri Tiger basketball, there was a Seattle News television report last week that said Seattle's Michael Porter Jr. declares for the NBA draft.
Those Seattle people, they want to take credit for everything.
Maybe they should just stop and get a cup of coffee.
Yeah, it's a good start.
Yeah, it probably is. At least that part works. I got one screen that's actually doing what I tell it to do. The other one's got a complete mind of its own.
Yeah, well. Skynet. Here.
Yep, we're just going to keep an eye out for a guy who looks like he's, made out of mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Not the planet, but.
Sure.
And wearing a police officer's uniform flying a helicopter.
All right.
Okay, you let me know how that first punch works for you.
I will.
Okay, you do that. All right, so this has become a very interesting hour because I've got random things happening that aren't supposed to happen. Anyway, meanwhile, back at the ranch, hour number two, Bill Conley from Rock M Nation will be joining us as we're going to try to exit out of this hour. I know our sister station, KLIK, is exiting out into their Garage Pass programming for NASCAR. By the way, NASCAR was snowed out over the weekend. And they ran the race in its entirety on Monday. So that was one of the more interesting things. It's been over 20 years since they had a race snowed out. Major League Baseball opening day tomorrow, and the Cincinnati Reds have already postponed their game.
Okay, very good.
So they're
excellent.
They're not playing now until Friday. And I don't know how they're going to do this, but they're going to play. Get this.
Okay.
They're going to play Friday.
Uh huh.
And Saturday,
but
and Sunday. They're going to play 3 days in a row.
But opening day takes so much out. Everybody gets a day off.
Well, listen, the Cincinnati Reds are just superhuman.
The Red Stockings.
Yeah, the Cincinnatiapolis Red Stockings.
Yes.
They're just superhuman.
Okay.
So I think they've got that in them.
Okay.
But opening day tomorrow, are you going to get the Cubs and the Marlins? And I don't know if you're going to watch the game or not, but I'm already envisioning the Derek Jeter Love Fest by ESPN. They've got the full coverage of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it just strikes me as something that with it's the Cubs and the Marlins getting together, you're going to have a little bit of the Cubs and Theo Epstein storyline, trying to get back to the World Series and everything. But the darling boy on Thursday will make his debut as an owner, even though he didn't have the money, with the Miami Marlins.
Yeah.
So huge storyline. Get ready to be sick of it tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
11:30. Yeah, 11:30 start. The Cardinals will start about 12:10, 12:15, and they will open up against the New York Metropolitans. Carlos Martinez and Noah Syndergaard will go. And then your Royals, your beloved Royals.
My Royals?
Well, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Let me check my pockets. Nope, not mine. Nope, they're not my Royals.
You know, over the last the last 5 years, only one team has been to the World Series twice.
Well, pray tell, who would that have been?
Kansas City Royals.
What? Really?
I mean, just dominant. What a dominant franchise.
Wow. A five-year window.
Yeah.
Now, what about the 6 5-year windows before that?
Well, I mean, listen, it's been 3 years since we've won a World Series.
Okay, so you're due.
No, we're 10% of the way to our next one.
And that plan of action starts on Thursday.
Yes.
About 3:15.
Yeah.
Danny Duffy, James Shields. James Shields last year gave up more home runs than he had innings pitched for the White Sox.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Your favorite team.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but your favorites in the National League to win another Cy Young, Max Scherzer, seems good.
Yeah.
Seems like a solid bet on that one. And then Corey Kluber or Chris Sale in the American League. Corey Kluber from the Cleveland Indians, Chris Sale, Boston Red Sox. That was kind of Chris's to win last year, and then he faltered down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, he lost a lot of that speed going into the Cy Young Finals from last year. Also, again, Bill Connelly's going to join us in hour number two. But interesting hire, and you go back to you talked in the previous segment, Jay, about Konzo Martin getting that 7-year deal.
Yeah.
Louisville giving Chris Mack a 7-year deal from Xavier.
Yeah. That's such a weird move.
Okay. Like it, not like it?
Don't like it.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It's a weird move. I know his wife is from Louisville, but it just seems like it's a...
At least she doesn't have to woo pig Suey at the press conference.
Oh, man. I mean, you want to talk about unfortunate things to make your spouse do.
Yeah.
And really, it had nothing to do with Brett Bielema's coaching at Arkansas. His wife did not want to relive that moment anymore.
Nope.
Well, yep. So, yes, it's and then Jeff Capel moving from Duke to take over the Pitt job.
Mm-hmm. Great hire for Pitt.
Yeah. Sure, certainly better than Kevin Stallings.
Yeah, I mean, one would hope.
You're the Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.